Hello and welcome to CJ Evolution, the podcast dedicated to helping criminal justice professionals like you. Now here's your host, fellow CJ Evolutionary, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello everybody, welcome back. Episode 145, CJ Evolution. Patrick here, whatever you were doing, wherever you are at. Thank you for tuning in. Special thanks to all those first responders out there protecting us day in, day out. You have much support out there. You know, folks, there is a primary danger in policing. We all know that, or we should know that. This danger comes with the job, and it is an unavoidable stressor of policing. The primary danger and accompanying risk of policing exists because there are always persons in our society that willingly engage in criminal activity, act in violent ways, and have little regard for life and safety of others. And the police are charged with the responsibility to enforce the law, serve and protect citizens, and ensure community safety. Police officers attempt to counterbalance the risk inherent in policing by applying the three T's of policing: training, tactics, and technology. It is a sad commentary that American communities must be considered dangerous environments. However, this is a fact for police officers. This is true even in, quote, safe neighborhoods. Many police officers have been killed or injured in safe neighborhoods by, quote, good people. This is the unavoidable reality of police work. Remaining mindful that even initially cooperative persons may become violent is a component of police officers' reality. It does not matter if the person is young or elderly, male or female, verbal or silent, attractive or homely, intoxicated or sober, all can become a threat. This compels police officers to live in an occupational world of assumption of possible threat. It is much different than most other workers who live in an occupational world of the assumption of safety. Confrontation. Police officers provide a vital service to their community. Much of this service may seem routine and unremarkable. However, there is another side of policing, the side of confrontation. Confrontation is one of several unavoidable stressors of policing. Officers must have or must develop a means of coping with confrontation. Even when the police are requested to assist in particular situations, there is often at least one person who does not want officers present. Some confrontations are mild and consist of verbal discussion or nonverbal posturing. Others are critical and may involve officers fighting for their lives. Like everyone else, police officers have the right to protect and defend themselves. Unlike others, police officers have the duty to protect and defend others. This is true even if it means that officers must place themselves in jeopardy. There are consequences for officers that fail to meet this duty, including departmental discipline, employment termination, and civil lawsuits. This is different from most other occupations, and it increases the probability that officers will become involved in critical incidents. Confrontation on a daily basis is one of the unique aspects of policing. Officers accept this feature of the job and endeavor to do their best even in the most unfamiliar, challenging, and sometimes life-threatening circumstances. I want to talk a little bit about some considerations that we as officers must take in a critical incident. 25 suggestions and considerations for officers involved in a critical incident. Number one, you're safe. No matter what type of critical incident you have experienced, don't forget that you are safe now. Number two, realize that your survival instinct was an asset at the time of the incident and that it remains intact to assist you now and in the future if needed. Number three, emotions following a critical incident are normally different and more intense than usual. You know, people out there involved in a critical incident, and I think most of us, or at least a lot of us have been, you know what I'm talking about. This is due to the nature and intensity of critical incidents. Accept your emotions as normal and part of the incident survival and recovery process. Number four, accept that you may have experienced fear. Fear is a normal emotion and should not be interpreted as weakness. Number five, learn about or become acquainted with the features of normal post-critical incident responses. This will help you understand that much of what you're feeling is a normal part of the recovery process. Number six, accept that you cannot always control events, but you can control or at least influence your responses. If you are troubled by a perceived lack of control, focus on the fact that you've had some control during the event. Use strength to respond in a certain way. Number 7, talk to somebody. This is so important. Discuss your experiences and feelings with someone you trust. Seek a person confidentiality, communication, protections if necessary. Number 8, try not to second guess your actions. Evaluate your actions based on your perceptions at the time of the event, not afterwards. Remember that every cop every day has to make decisions based upon limited and sometimes faulty information. It is imperative to keep this in mind following a critical incident. Number 9, understand that your actions during the incident were based on the need to make critical decisions for actions. Some of these decisions had to be made within seconds, and that's what a lot of people in the public arena don't understand. Number 10, accept that your behavior was appropriate to your perceptions and feeling at the time of the incident. No one is perfect. It's normal to like and dislike some of your actions during and following a critical incident. Number 11, focus on the things that you did that you feel good about. Positive outcomes are often produced by less than ideal, especially in retrospect, actions. Number 12, following a critical incident, officers are often most critical of themselves than they would be of other officers in identical circumstances. Do not become your own worst critic. Talk to yourself in the same way you would another officer. Number 13, it is normal to have the incident play over and over in your head. Repetitive incident replay is a feature of psychological process leading to the recovery. Incident replay normally gradually subsides over a period of several weeks. Number 14, take some of your time for yourself if needed, but avoid isolating yourself physically and emotionally from your family and others that care about you. Avoiding isolation may be difficult if you are feeling numb or emotionally flat. Do your best to progressively engage others. The numb feeling, if present, will gradually subside. Number 15, prepare yourself for some negativity. There are few police critical incidents that are not criticized by someone, especially if you had to shoot to defend yourself. No matter how necessary the use of lethal force was, it seems that there is always at least one person who will say things like, they didn't have to shoot him, or the cops are out of control, or, you know, the suspect wouldn't have hurt anybody, the cops overreacted. We've all heard this before, folks. You must stay grounded in what you know to be true to minimize the damaging effects of unjustified or uninformed private or public opinion. Number 16, some people will force police officers to shoot them. Suicide by cop. If your critical incident involved a suicide by cop, it is natural to experience a broad range of emotion. These can vary from feeling sorry for the person to intense anger for involving you in their wish to die. It is also possible to experience several seemingly contradictory emotions in reference to the suicidal person. Do not forget that he or she removed all of your other options and you had to defend yourself from their potentially lethal behavior. Number 17, sleeping can be difficult for a while, and you may have unusual dreams during the time that you are sleeping. This is normal. Unusual sleep and dreaming patterns, if present at all, will return to normal within a few weeks. Number 18, avoid using alcohol as a primary critical incident stress management strategy. Although alcohol might relax you and help you fall asleep, if you're having trouble sleeping, it will not help you to maintain restful sleep. Number 19, maintain your exercise routine. If you do not have a routine, start some daily light exercise. Walking is excellent. Even mild exercise or other physical activity helps to dissipate stress and aids in sleep onset and maintenance. Number 20, keep caffeine consumption within your normal limits. It's okay to lessen caffeine consumption for a few days, especially if you're having difficulty sleeping. Number 21, do not take the activities of the systems personally. Keep the needs of the various systems, DA office, administrative, investigative, you know, the criminal investigation, the press, etc., in perspective. In terms of investigations, remember that an officer's best defense against false accusations is thorough and complete incident investigation. Number 22, try to be patient. Do this on two levels. Number 1, be patient with yourself. It takes time to psychologically work through a critical incident. And 2, be patient with everything else. Your spouse, your department, incident investigators, DA's office. Even though you will want something completed swiftly, more often things will take a long period to come to a resolution. Number 23, assume responsibility for your positive recovery. Many departments have professionals and peer support protocols in place to assist officers involved in critical incidents, but some do not. In fact, many do not. Do not hesitate asking for help if you need. Do not become a victim of the secondary danger of policing. Number 24, be especially aware of any personal suicidal thoughts or feelings. Although rare, suicidal thoughts have been known to occur in officers following critical incidents. Keep yourself safe. If you are having suicidal thoughts, contact the responsible person immediately. Remain open to appropriate intervention. Suicidal thoughts following a critical incident are normally of short duration and will respond well to appropriate support intervention. And last but not least, number 25, do not allow the incident to damage you, your family, or your career. Take care of your family and let them take care of you. Take advantage of available support resources. Remember, folks, police critical incidents happen because you are a police officer and there are circumstances beyond your control, not because of who you are as a person. I hope this has been a beneficial podcast for you today. I was reading this and I was like, I got to share this. This is great information with people that are doing our jobs out there. First responders, this is such good information. Remember, most of us, or a lot of us, have been involved in critical incidents. So it's good to go through these suggestions again, folks. Got a lot of great guests coming on. I hope you stay tuned for that. If you head over to cjevolution.net, check out the website. You know, I'll have all the shows on there. You can also head over to iTunes, rate and review my podcast. I sure would appreciate it, folks. So with that, I'm going to sign off, and I hope everybody is well and being safe. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast, and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.